Welcome to Back at the Track, a retrospective race review and preview special presentation of 1230 WSOO. Today would have been the historic annual running of the I-500 snowmobile race. Since that simply isn't possible in 2021, we'd like to thank you for joining us for special features and conversations with I-500 racers and historians. Back to the Track is brought to you by Anytime Towing, Central Savings Bank, Madigan Pingator Insurance, Northern Light Cannabis, Reed Metals, and by Skinners of Pickford. Now let's join our host, Mark Sinangelo, back at the track.
Hey, we are back here at the I-500 track for our last hour of our special broadcast, and we're supposed to be talking to Todd Cricky right now. We haven't been able to connect with him. Hopefully we will here in the next couple of minutes. But Mark Sinangelo, along with Steve Brosco and Scott Masiak, joining us here. And I wanted to this might actually work out really good, because one of the things I wanted to talk about is the future of this race. Obviously, we're at 53 years. We talked a little bit earlier about the early beginnings of this race with Ross Rowe getting this race off the ground back in the 60s. And, you know, here we are 53 years later, not racing this year because of COVID. But, I mean, one of the things that I think is pretty cool is and we talked about this a lot, is how it's a family, how this race is a family. And I didn't grow up here. I've never ridden a snowmobile. Which I know you guys always look at me like, what? You've never ridden a snowmobile? that's a different story. That's an interesting story that I'll share with you guys off air, because it's not that interesting for broadcast. But, as I've done this now, I think for about 10 years I've done the race, maybe 10, 15 years. I don't know when I first started doing it with Tom Ewing back in the day. It's obvious that it's a family and everything. And I think, Scott, you know, and Steve, your family's been involved for years here. And, you know, your aunts and your uncles and all family members have been involved up here. Scott, you as a driver and everything. And now it's been fun to watch your son come up here to this race and watch as a little kid. And now he's – I don't know how old Cale is now, but now he's racing. How exciting is it for you as a former driver here to see your son get excited about it, get some racing experience, knowing that eventually he wants to race here?
Well, he's 14 now, and it is exciting for me. It's a little unnerving at the same time.
I'm sure,
because
yeah.
I know what goes on out there. Mm-hmm. But I also want him to learn now, because I didn't have that opportunity when I was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. Racing was not in my family. I started out with this race listening to it with my mom on Radio Sioux. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you know, my dad, I drove him crazy enough to where he'd just finally bring me here. And I remember leaving after the first race. I was 13 years old, first time I come here, walking through the parking lot and saying to my dad, "How old do you have to be to race?" He says, "I don't know."
50. He probably
I said, "Well, yeah." Well, that's about what he said. Yeah. I said, "Because I think it's 18, and when I turn 18, I'm going to race here." And mm-hmm. that's when he looked at me and says, "I think you need to be 40 or something like that." And now I'm shoes on the other foot for me.
Sure.
But Cale has been racing in Myra. Mm-hmm. He's been racing an F500 Junior, mm-hmm. The Hoos Racing team, the 67 team. Mm-hmm. They have been so great to us, giving him a sled to race, mm-hmm. basically. But I'm watching that junior class, and there's some other names in there
right.
that are next generation. You have him. You have Ryan Spencer's son is driving. Wade Warner, Paul Warner's son. Gordy Pastula's son, Sean.
Right.
Gordy
mm-hmm.
and I were drivers together here. Paul and I were drivers together. Mm-hmm. Ryan Spencer and I were teammates. It's just, it's interesting for us as dads to take a look at this, because Ryan is still racing. Ryan's mm-hmm. riding with Troy DeWald in
right.
the Enduros yet.
Right.
Gordy and I and Paul, we're all retired. We're mm-hmm. we're watching our boys do it now, helping them out. But I think the future is going to be good here. That's just the few kids that I know. There's more coming yet from
sure.
other disciplines mm-hmm. of racing as well. I'm sure when we get Gabe on the phone, if we ask him that question, mm-hmm. Gabe would let us know what's going on across country in those classes, because there's going to be cross country racers coming, mm-hmm. you know, that we don't know about yet,
because sure.
mm-hmm. cross country discipline does well here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited for Cale and everything. Again, it's been really fun to watch him as a little kid kind of grow up in the broadcast booth. And
literally growing up in there.
I know.
I just got a text from Brooke. She measured him this morning. He's 5'10", though.
There you go. He can't come in no more.
That's right, yeah. That's
he used to almost sit under the booth in there.
He'd sit right underneath it. Yeah. Look out, the countertop in there, and you can see underneath it. Yeah.
One of his big deals with me was, and I touched on this a little bit off air, is a couple of years ago, both of my kids want me to make promises to them that when they get old enough to do whatever.
Sure.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Cale's was, when he turns 18, he and I to run the I-500 together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that he finds a team to ride with and that I don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not against going and driving one more.
Sure.
To do that with my son, because I think that would be so cool.
For sure.
Because if we run together, I would have to start the race
because
of all my years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I also told him that I would start the race. I will run until I can't go anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be the first plow.
Mm-hmm.
But don't ask me to get back on again.
You're done.
I'm done.
Mm-hmm. You're done.
I don't want to ride at the end of the race anymore like I used to.
Well, I think the good thing about it is that, you know, your ability to be able to do something like that. Selfishly, I know that when that happens, you're not going to be in the broadcast anymore.
I was thinking the same thing, Mark. God darn it.
Scott, before that happens, you have to find your replacement, okay?
Well, we'll work on that. We'll work on that. Maybe Ivan.
Ivan.
Oh, I don't know.
Ivan, get ready. Do you really want Ivan calling a race you're in? he would do a good job.
It might be better for me to have Ivan as the crew chief.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
Because that's something that I haven't discussed that with Ivan, but that's something that's been discussed between Cale and I.
I worked with Ivan on the Bobby Mini Sled 4 or 5 years ago, and Ivan was the crew chief calling it. I watched the race and informed Ivan how I foreseen the race coming. But Ivan was serious about it and did a phenomenal job, put that kid in third place.
Ivan's a phenomenal crew chief. He's a phenomenal race mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did really. So he would be good. I'd be a good team. We'll find a replacement. As much as we don't want to lose you up here.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd be so happy to see you out there again, Scott.
I think it'd be exciting. It'd be exciting. Now, the thing is, if you do ride, can we put a microphone on Scott and actually get him live from the sled as he's doing
if
those?
If there's a 10-second delay.
Keep your finger on the button.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I know that that's probably going to happen at some point, but it's great. And again, it's about family, and I think that's as a dad, I understand that they've got to be exciting and nerve wracking at the same time.
And that's phenomenal. And I want, as you mentioned, family, and not to go away from it, Scott, but I know something we had mentioned earlier. Scotty Shepherd was a flagman here forever and went on to flag the ice circuit. He flagged Meyer with me. He did the No Bull circuit with me. And Scotty's been kind of sick lately, had some issues. And I know he's listening today. I got some messages, and I'm sure Scotty too. And
Mark,
just hope you get well, Scott. We miss you, and like to see you back around the track again soon. And I just wanted to.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, and we talked about this, one of the people that we lost this year and everything was a big fan of the I-500, would be here every year, except for the past couple of years, as a former co-worker of mine, John Bell.
Yes.
You know, we lost Johnny Bell, last year to he had diabetes, lost both of his legs, had been down in Charlevoix for the longest time, but passed away due to congestive heart failure. So. And I know we'd always would joke about Johnny up there in the North Bluff and everything, and a few times that we saw him get a little too drunk and everything and slide down the
He's one of the guys I saw on a yellow laps when I was looking up at the crowd from the track.
There was always a big party up there, and there would have been a big party there this weekend and everything in John's honor. And I know that the Pacer and Gordy Wymore and a bunch of the guys that are participating in his we're good friends of John's and everything. We'll pay tribute to him next year at the I-500 track.
Very
for
much
sure.
So for sure.
But let's take a quick break. We're going to come back as we continue. Our next contact is going to be Troy DeWald, winner of the 2009-2010-2019 race. As we wrap up this hour here of our special broadcast at the I-500 here on 1230 WSOO.
Anytime Towing, how may I help you?
Hi, I'm in the ditch and I need help.
It's cold in here, Mom.
Okay, ma'am, can I get your location? I'll send someone your way ASAP.
Thanks. Please hurry.
Anytime Towing, servicing Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan and surrounding areas. They guarantee the lowest prices and are the only fully licensed and family-owned towing company in Sault, Michigan. For 24-hour roadside assistance that includes lockouts and jump starts, call Anytime Towing today. 906-635-1560.
What are the two things most teens should have besides a cell phone? A teen savings account and a teen checking account at Central Savings Bank. Your teen can learn how to save and budget their own money with one or both of these accounts. These accounts come with an ATM debit card with mobile wallet capabilities and access to things like internet banking and mobile banking, all with no monthly service charges. If you have a child 12 years of age or younger, they have accounts for them as well. Stop in any of their 9 locations and ask about the CSB Savers Youth Savings Club accounts. Member FDIC.
What's that?
It's the noise Liam's piggy bank makes when he puts money in it. He has a CSB Savers Youth Savings Club account at Central Savings Bank.
Oh, yeah? I don't have any accounts for either of my boys.
Well, with this type of savings account, Liam gets prizes for deposits, entries for quarterly drawings, and much more. Plus, there are no monthly service charges.
Member FDIC.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
Now let's go back to the track on 1230 WSOO.
And we are back here at the I-500 track. Mark Sinangelo along with Steve Brosco and Scott Maciag. We are doing our special I-500 broadcast. Even though there's no race going on here, we are up at the track. And we've been having a lot of fun talking to various past winners of the I-500. And we have big name from past races here at the I-500, winner of the 2009 to 2010 and 2019 race, Troy DeWald. Troy, good morning to you. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Good, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good, good. Missing racing action up here. I'm sure you are, too.
Yes, I am. Yeah. Wish we were up there this morning.
No, Troy, we sure do miss you. Like I said, you've been a Michigan favorite for years now. We've been kind of doing a lot of the Minnesota-Michigan wars, and you've usually been leading the charge for Michigan, Troy. I wanted to talk to you about your 11 pole positions. When I spoke with you last week, I had asked you that. I couldn't remember. When you said 11, it floored me that it was 11 poles. Mm-hmm. And not that I didn't believe you. I went to check the years, and you did win 11 pole positions, Troy. What do you attribute that speed to?
Oh, you know, probably, I don't know, a lot of homework, you know, doing some work on a sled, you know, knowing what to do, knowing how to get around that racetrack is a pretty good, I don't know, factor for myself, I guess. And going after it, you know, there's a little bit of incentive there, you know, because they put a little bit of money up for the pole, and the prestige is what's really big, is to start up front. And you know, it's nice to start up front and stay out of trouble at the start of that race is the whole key of it. So,
well, you know, it sure is, Troy. And we've noticed that your pole positions have came on vastly different sleds. From your first pole, who would be the, let's for the sake of calling it the Indy style chassis, we'll call it, compared to the new sleds. Can you describe the difference in the sleds? Because you're one of the drivers who've made the big transformation from the older style to the new style sleds.
Yeah, there's huge differences. The older sleds were, you know, a little bit lower, less suspension. Actually, we turned way faster times on those older sleds.
Mm-hmm.
But today's sleds are, you know, suspensions are so much better. Aerodynamics is terrible on them, on today's new sleds, but, you know, they said hi, and nobody really manufactures a sled for oval racing, so you're taking a cross-country sled or a snowcross sled and trying to make it, you know, go fast on the oval track, so you got to adapt to all that, but, yeah, there's a huge difference in sleds from back then to now.
Of course, and, you know, as of late, you've had some tremendous luck here, actually coming in as the first winner on an Articat. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you hold that distinction. It took a long time to get there.
Yeah, Articat hadn't won that race in, you know,
ever.
Until we come along in 2010. So that was pretty special, I'll tell you. That sure lit up Thief River Falls, Minnesota, when that day come around.
That was a great day for everybody in the snow. But again, back to Michigan, you've done so much for the state here. And people who don't follow racing as much outside the I-500 as others, I was going to ask you, Troy, what is the record for your consecutive win streak over how many years? Could you fill us in on that?
I have no idea. We've won 13 races up till the beginning of this year. We've won 13 consecutive.
13 consecutive. On the Myra Circuit and then
on
here.
The Myra Circuit.
Yep. That's a feat that I can tell you has never been done before. Not even close. Yeah. To put 13 together is just phenomenal. I was going to ask Scott Masak, what do you think of that number?
That's just, it's unbelievable. In the last two races, you guys have had a lot of troubles that have taken you away from that. And one question I have for you, how are you feeling today, bud?
I'm doing good.
You took quite a tumble last Sunday in Gaylord.
Yeah, I did. I'll tell you, I had a rough start to this week. That kind of took the wind out of my sails. I didn't really think much of it at the time, but I caught my head pretty good on the ice there. That really that affected me for like most of this week.
Yeah, that was quite an accident, that's for sure.
Yeah, I didn't really think it was that big of a deal at first, but just the way it went down, you know, just coming off the sled and then getting kind of whipped to the ice was kind of a different deal. And it wasn't, there's a few minutes there that I lost. You know, I don't remember any sleds going around me. I don't remember getting up off the ice. I just remember when I did get up, there was people there right away. So that was a little different. It's kind of a scary second, I guess.
You're not a driver who spends a lot of time with the track facing up in the air. Over the years, you've been pretty consistent and a good rider. Leads me back, Troy, I wanted to ask you, on the start of the 04 race here at the Sioux, I'm pretty sure you were on the pole, but you got you had to have one of the fastest crashes, and I say fastest, speed carrying, and you had an accident top of turn one on the first lap of the race. Could you tell us what happened? Because actually, you know, I was standing there, but you did it behind me. And I watched the rest of the field come through, and Gary Wilson from Race Control is yelling, go yellow, turn one. And I had to turn around to look up in the hay to see what happened. What happened on that crash, Troy? And how about how fast were you going coming down that straightaway?
Well, back then on the old Indy, that was probably the Gen 2 chassis there, and we were hauling the mail. I tell you, we'd probably run 117 down that front stretch, maybe 118.
Wow. Yep.
And I was coming into turn one right away there, and I kind of got off. Sled got set to come in through the corner, and I caught a rut. And the sled kind of sat and then darted to the right. Well, I got in a break a little bit, and that brought me up into the handlebar, kind of threw my whole body up towards into the left side of the handlebar. Well, then you're locked in. You can't. When that handlebar is in your chest, you have no way to pull it backwards to your left to get the sled to go left. And that just turned the whole sled right up into the bales. It was like I just drove in there on purpose.
Yeah, very, very scary. And again, it was very out of character for Troy DeWalt to have an accident like that as what driver you are. And I never had spoken with you about that accident, but I do know that from the accounts that people who've been in turn one for years, spectators, said they never saw a sled come in there that fast. And it sure is a testament to the conditioning you're in too, Troy, you know, to be able to get up from that and walk away, which you were able to in the long run.
Yeah, that was, I was fortunate. You know, it could have been a lot worse. You know, I was fine afterwards when I beat up, but not the way you want to start that race, I'll tell you that.
No, it was too bad. You know, we were trying to get a hold of your partner, Todd Crickey. He just sent me, we were trying to get a hold of him earlier. He didn't answer the phone. He sent me a text message, and he's ready to go. But you've had a good relationship with Todd and with the Greg Cadorac as of late. I know working with both of them and the whole team. Tell us a little bit about that Cadorac team that has the long win streak and how that team functions compared to other teams you've been with.
Yeah, we've been together for a while now. And you know, Greg has the same passion to win, and Todd and the whole rest of the team has the same passion to win that I do. And that's what drives this team. I mean, it's all about winning and doing the best that we can do. So, week in and week out, we're preparing to get our equipment ready to go. You know, I'm getting ready to go all the time. We're working on the sled, trying different things, you know, trying to get, you know, that next step on the teams out there that are striving to beat us every week. So we get along really well. But that's the main gel, is that we strive to win.
Very good. As we start to wrap this up, Troy, I know you're not, none of us are 20 years old anymore. we're hoping you continue continue the sport for a long time, but what does the future hold for you in the enduro racing world?
Yeah, well, honestly, this year I was hoping this was going to be my last I-500, but being it didn't happen, we'll see what happens next year.
We sure hope to see you here. Tell Greg to keep putting those LED lights on the bottom of the tunnel when you come here at night. It sure was easy to find you on the track at night from the broadcasting booth. We always knew where you were at around the track.
Yeah, it worked out pretty good. It was kind of cool. A lot of people like that, so I think we'll keep doing it. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, Troy Drouin, thanks so much for your time. Glad you're feeling better after last weekend, and we'll look forward to seeing you take at least hopefully one more kick at the can at next year at the I-500 track. So thanks so much for the time. Have a great weekend.
You got it, guys. Thanks for the call. Take it easy.
Yep. You too. Troy DeWall joining us here on the broadcast. We'll take a quick break. We're back with last year's winner, Gabe Bunke, coming up next here on 1230 WSOO.
The big game is coming February 7th. This year's game will feature all the goodies you love on game day, including your favorite goodies from Northern Light Cannabis Company. They offer an array of high-quality flower, edibles, concentrates, and more at some of the most affordable prices in the state. Browse northernlightcannabis.com and then stop by. Open daily 9 till 9. This year's big game will be different with Northern Light Cannabis Company, M28 just west of I-75.
Keep out of reach of children. It's illegal to drive a motor vehicle under the influence of cannabis.
The last tractor you'll ever need is here. Get into a Massey Ferguson compact or utility tractor and accomplish more than ever before. These versatile tractors are known for their unbeatable power, smart fuel economy, and upgraded creature comforts. And with their ability to multitask through any job around the yard or farm, they'll provide you with outstanding value for years to come. Do all you need to do and more with Massey Ferguson compact and utility tractors. Visit Skinner's of Pickford to find the right model for your operation. The last tractor you'll ever need is here. Get into a Massey Ferguson compact or utility tractor and accomplish more than ever before. These versatile tractors are known for their unbeatable power, smart fuel economy, and upgraded creature comforts. And with their ability to multitask through any job around the yard or farm, they'll provide you with outstanding value for years to come. Do all you need to do and more with Massey Ferguson compact and utility tractors. Visit Skinner's of Pickford to find the right model for your operation. Now let's go back to the track on 1230 WSOO.
Thank you very much. And we are back here at the I-500 track. Mark Sinangelo along with Steve Roscoe and Scott Maciag. And there are few names that are legends here at the I-500 track. And I think this next guy who has won several times here at the track is definitely in that. If there was a Mount Rushmore for I-500, I think Gabe Bunke would probably be one of the names or one of the heads that would be on
his face. His face would be on it.
Yeah, I think his face would be on there. Gabe Bunke joining us here on the broadcast. Gabe, good morning to you. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, good morning to you guys. Thanks for calling. This is pretty cool. You guys are putting something together here for us to listen to at home anyway, and since nobody's able to be out racing.
Yeah, it's been tough, but it's been fun, and I guess it's been great to hear the stories that we've been hearing this morning from the various drivers, the various winners here, and obviously with the number of wins that you have here at the I-500 track, I'm sure there's a couple stories there too.
Yeah, it's been a memorable run over there for us. I think I've been going there a little over 20 years, and you know, kind of feels like home, and a little bit of a hole this year, not traveling over and seeing everybody. So it's kind of a bummer, but
no, you know, Gabe, it's
weird.
It's amazing the streak you've laid down for everybody listening. Gabe has won this 8 times. That's a lot. I mean, that's when John Wick won his 4th. I stood down there and Tech, and we said, telling people, you'll never see this again. This can't happen. Can somebody win 4 races? And Gabe's doubled that now, which just an amazing span. But something in the facts that I did take a look at, and I thought I was race director for Gabe's first couple of wins here, and then he continued on right through last year. Gabe has the longest span from when he first won here in 2002 till 2020. 18 years with very just wins in the middle, mm-hmm. but 18 years to be that competitive at one track is amazing, Gabe.
Yeah, it's been, you know, like I said, it's been fun. We got a good group of guys that, you know, love going there and work really well together. And, you know, I can't honestly, you know, take the credit for all, you know, for the wins. It's a team effort. And, you know, the past 10 years have been, you know, extremely successful for our guys and, you know, Aaron Christensen and, you know, been my backup driver since 2010, and we've been partnered since 2010, and you know, he's an integral part of the team. So I'm making everything work.
No, you've always found phenomenal teammates to drive with you that seem that their style of racing and yours are very similar. Of course, I would assume you had to set the sled up for both drivers, so you want to find somebody whose racing style is close to yours, Gabe. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I think throughout the time that I've, you know, raced at the Sioux, that's always been something that we've, you know, kind of been drawn to, and you know, our style's maybe a little different than the traditional oval racer, you know, being from the cross country background. So yeah, it's just always worked to, you know, ride with Corey even, you know, Corey's got the same type of a style, and, you know, Josh Davis and Troy Hansen, you know, guys that have raced cross country over here and ridden with us. And, you know, Aaron, he actually, you know, came from snowcross and it just started racing some cross country races when he came over to run with us, you know, back in 10. And, you know, he adapted really well. He's just a wicked talented guy, on a snowmobile and picked it up real quick.
Well, extremely so. And actually, also for everybody who didn't know this fact, that you, correct me if I'm wrong, you are the first father-son winner of the I-500. Is that
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
I know Scotty's sitting there. Scotty Masak wanted that bad.
Yeah.
And he's got a few more years to go, but hopefully he could join you in the record books on that one.
Yeah.
But
Taylor, I think, has been on, you know, listed on three of the years. Last year he, you know, he drove a fair amount of the race. He and Aaron, I think, manned, you know, probably 80% of it, 85% of it. I only ran the first go round, and then those guys, you know, ran the rest of the day, and Taylor did a fabulous job.
Well, amazing. So. And that's where the team sport comes in. And we were just talking about Taylor, he represents a third generation of professional player snowmobile racers. Mm-hmm. And I know, Gabe, we talked off the air the other day, your father, Jerry Bunkey, was a Polaris factory racer in the 70s. I believe the term was one of the Starfire Kids.
Starfire Kids was, I guess, the book that we sent out, but he was part of the Midnight Blue Express, you know, back in the late 70, 77, 78. So yeah, that was a pretty big time for snowmobile racing.
Yeah.
And, you know, evolution of suspensions and stuff. So,
And I know your father helped with the, I think the IFS bringing it into Polaris, actually.
Yep.
You're helping to get that into independent front suspension.
And, yeah, he worked alongside, you know, Bob Eastman and Arlen Soggy and, you know, those guys back in Polaris and was, you know, a big proponent of getting that suspension, from what I understand anyway, getting that suspension to work. And, you know, that evolved the Indy for Polaris, which is kind of it's a staple. It's what everybody knows Polaris as, the Indy. We still carry that name.
Always do. And again, a big shout out to your family for three generations of professional snowmobile racing. There's been good times and bad, but you've always, you know, kept with it, Gabe. And I know the fans around here appreciate it. And the race officials before and after have really appreciated everything in your professionalism. It's nice when you get somebody who's winning a race to control the race. And you've always done that through, you know, slowing down at cautions and whatnot. And you've always been a good champion out here. We've always appreciated it, Gabe.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, we're going to go back. I was going to ask you something. I'd asked Troy DeWald about. You came here on the older, we'll call it the Indy style sleds. I believe your first win was with Mike Gentz. Is that correct?
Yep. Back in 02, Mike and I, you know, teamed up on Mike's sled. I think we were on the Gen 2 chassis at the time with 600 triple in it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's technically the Indy chassis.
Yep.
Trailing arm, all that. Yeah.
How do you compare that sled to the sleds of today?
Well, I think they were faster. we seem to, you know, have a little bit better lap times, and you know, the straightaway speeds were definitely a lot greater. Suspensions, you know, not necessarily you know, better than what we've got today, which, you know, that's something that we focused a lot on, is getting handling down when and you know, for, you know, that late race bumps that we see out there, and being able to keep everything under control. And, you know, things have changed over the years. You know, we used to run different tracks and everything to you know, kind of give us the speed that, you know, we used to see. And, you know, that's something that we don't focus as hard on anymore. I think, you know, we could probably still see some of that, but if we really, you know, really worked on it. But it's just, there's only so much time in a day, and we have one race a year out there, and you know, there's a lot of elements to making the package successful.
Sure.
Well, Gabe, your package seems to be just that much better than everybody else's, and it's been that way for a lot of years. And I know.
Well, you know, you guys keep saying that, but it's not necessarily. It's you got to tune it for who's driving it, but it also just comes down to, you know, keeping it simple.
Right.
We've actually trimmed a lot of the stuff away that we used to try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to make things light, trying to make things fast, you know, even chasing the horsepower game, you know, sometimes doesn't always make that big of a difference. But, you know, I don't know if you guys, you know, notice it or not, but I mean, there's a lot of anxiety some years at the beginning of the race, because we're, you know, we're just sitting there kind of mid pack and driving, you know, as hard as we can. But at the end of the day, you have to be there in order to win. And sometimes those chargers early on, you know, they, I don't know if they play themselves out or, you know, tear up the equipment or what, but it's, you know, it's a little bit of a strategy play, and not always driving for that top speed for the final, you know, checkered flag doesn't always, you know, make a difference. But
right. Well, now that Larry Ruglin's not building engines, can you tell us who does your engine packages now?
Yeah, we've transitioned over, you know, since Larry's stroke.
Yep.
We transitioned over to Rich Flaggy.
Mm-hmm.
He's built engines there for some time, and you know, he's got a long history of engine building and oval racing and snowcross and stuff. So, and you know, it was just kind of felt like the natural thing to do, and he's done a great job.
Sure.
You know, with our current engine and pipe package. So we you know, we're happy with everything, and you know, it's just so much going on with them that you know, I've like I said, I've kept it really simple, so we haven't changed a lot in the last few years. We're just, you know, keep running, but I know there's some fast things that those guys are working on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, we may have to, since we got a year off here from actually tuning with the stuff, we may have to dive down that road and you know, see what the rest of those guys are working with, and see if there's improvements there or not.
Well, I'm sure you'll get that figured out. I have faith in you.
yeah, we'll see. But
well, we hope you continue to come here for many years, and Gabe, and again, you and Corey Davidson are both tied at 8 wins apiece, I believe, right now. I'd like to see that tie broken someday by somebody. So we hope you both keep coming back here and running hard, Gabe.
Yeah, we more than likely will. You know, I'm definitely going to at least keep the kids going. And, you know, it's been harder the last few years. You know, I moved back to home to Roseville here a couple of years ago, and, you know, started working at the factory and at Polaris, and it's just really hard to get the time to stay committed. And one of the things that you know, I felt it last year, even, you know, if you're not really focused on being the best that you can be, it just didn't feel 100% natural. So, you know, that's something that I gotta, you know, it's a battle I gotta pick. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm not able to go out there and compete and think that I'm, you know, competitive, it's hard for me to make that decision to, you know, to sign up. But I know the boys are in, and you know, hopefully we get this whole pandemic thing behind us so we can get the border open and get Aaron back down here racing with us, and you know, we'll definitely be back.
That sounds good, Gabe. Well, we're sure glad we were able to speak with you today, and I know we had some nice conversations leading up to this, you and I did, and you're always the ultimate professional, and we're looking forward to seeing you back here next year.
All right. Sounds good.
Gabe, thanks so much for the time. Have a great weekend, and we'll look forward to seeing you next year for sure.
Yeah, you too, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep, Gabe Bunke joining us here on the broadcast. We'll take a quick break, get into our last segment here next on 1230 WSOO.
Since 1916, a lot of independent agents have recommended auto owners insurance, and a lot of parents have taken that recommendation to heart. So have a lot of their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. As we celebrate our first 100 years, Auto Owners Insurance thanks all those who have put their trust in us and all the generations who will.
Visit Madigan Pingator Insurance Services today on Water Street in Sioux, Michigan, or at MadiganPingator.com.
It's 2021, and Reed Metals in Dafter, your honest, main source, one-stop metal recycling business serving northern Michigan, hopes everyone has a prosperous year. If you need a few extra dollars to help with your heating bills or that trip you may want to take to the warm state of Hawaii, bring Reed Metals your unwanted scrap metals, and they'll print you a check. Reed Metals is paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Bring in copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals, and they'll print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals is your honest, one-stop metal recycling business. They also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com or call 906-632-0018. Bring it in or have it hauled, and Reed Metals will print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals, 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail. Now let's go back to the track on 1230 WSOO.
And we are back here at the I-500 track. Mark Sinangelo, along with Scott Macyeg and Steve Brosco joining us here. I want to again thank our sponsors before we're almost done with the broadcast here. This 4 hours is flown by pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Madigan Pingator Insurance, Northern Light Cannabis Company, Anytime Towing, Reed Metals, Skinners of Pickford, and Central Savings Bank. Providing the sponsorship of our broadcast. And one more driver, we were going to talk to him earlier this hour. We had to move him back to this time now, but that's fine. Winner of the 91, 96, and 97 race, Todd Crickey is on the phone. Good morning, Todd. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you guys?
Great. Where are you at right now?
I am actually at a snowmobile.
Of course you are.
Of course, yeah. Where are you at, though, Todd? Where's the race at?
I am in Lincoln, the Bevra race, and a friend of mine asked me to come up today, and I thought I could remember when my time was, but I didn't.
That's okay.
I looked at my phone, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, 11:20.
It's all right. We got your message, and actually Jan never picked up her phone, Jan Bailey. So if you're listening, Jan, we called you, and we got Todd slotted in here right now. Todd, 91, 96, 97 winner of the I-500, plus numerous winners as a team member of different teams. I wanted to ask you about the track record. If people don't know, Todd Kroeke holds the track record at the I-500 track. He ran a single lap at 95.96 with an average of 95.12. Todd, that record stood up for 24 years now.
Wow, it's been that long.
Yeah, why? Why can't anybody break your record?
I think as the years went on, people kind of got away from a little bit trying to go, you know, super fast like that. Kind of a goal that we had to try to break it. I was really good friends with Dan Kurtz, and we always kind of teased each other back and forth. I was going to try to get that someday, and I think it's the evolution of the new sled. I don't think without a ton of work, you're not going to make one of the new sleds go like an older model like I had. And, you know, they have a different qualifying format where when I did break that, you know, you could go out multiple times, you know, pay for the times, keep trying, and just a different era, I guess. But I don't think the new sleds will ever go that fast.
No, we were just discussing that on and off the air throughout the day, and that seems to be the consensus, Todd, is the new sleds are just higher, and they're not as fast.
They don't have the speed, right?
Yeah, they just don't have the speed the other ones do. We'll go back to the track record for race time. Though they've been inching up on it, John Wick's record from 8 years ago is still the fastest I-500 in history. With your pole from 24 years ago, the new sleds put on a great race, they just don't seem to have the speed of the old sleds.
Yep. I think it's just a different era of racing. Things evolve. You know, if you took one of the old sleds, they couldn't ride as good on a track like we have now, as the new sleds would. Just a different time and a different technology. And, you know, the older sleds, the track angle, the way the track came off, it hit the rear suspension. The new ones are quite a bit steeper. They struggle to get the speed that the old ones do.
Mm-hmm. On your first win in 1991, I believe you were with your cousin Randy Kroeke. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah.
People who were here would remember, maybe Scotty does, that was a beautiful day.
It was warm.
It was 37 degrees. It was the warmest race in history. Sun shining. People took off their coats and just wore their bibs and a sweatshirt and a beautiful day. You did have quite a battle with Tom Bozick that day. At that time, it was the closest race in history. Could you tell us a little bit about that 91 win and your battle with Tom Bozick?
Yeah, we had a good race day all day. We just had one slight little problem with the sled. We had a steam component come loose. We tightened that up on a pit stop. And at the end, it came down to, I guess, kind of a pit strategy. We got a caution. I think it was like 30 or maybe 50 laps to go. Tom decided to stay out. We came in, topped off with fuel, got new carbides, and my cousin Randy got on. And me and Tom had been battling back and forth. We would switch the lead almost every lap. And finally at the end, Tom chose not to pit when we did. And we got out of the pits, made a really quick stop, got out and got it. Ahead of him, then he had to pit at the end, and that kind of—it was still a very close race, but we got out in front of him and kind of took the win. That was quite a day. I mean, I'd been up with my 8th or 9th year of racing there, and to kind of pull off a win was quite something.
Well, that was a great day. Like, again, the warmth of the day and the sunshine and how nice it was. I know that after the 91 race, the temperature, the thermometer forgot how to work, and it stayed down at the bottom. And you ran in some pretty cold races. Right back to the 25 years ago, Todd, when we had the accident under the bridge at the start of the race, and then we pushed it back until Sunday. You were the winner of that 1996 race. You and Troy Pierce, tell us a little bit about running that day on Sunday.
Yeah, that was it was still really cold on Sunday, but we had a really good race going, and towards the end of the race, Troy, the transition from
racing in the daylight, the dark. He misread a couple bumps and came off the sled going into turn one. The sled went up the wall, actually hit the Flares billboard. And he was able to get back to the sled and drive it in the pit before we lost the lap. Then I got on and, you know, we filled it up with fuel right to the end. And at the end of the race, I didn't realize that guy was on the 224 was on the same lap as we were. I thought it was still one lap down. And we came around to get a restart, and there was a sled down in the front straightaway, so I thought we were going one more lap of caution, and all of a sudden they threw the green. I wasn't quite ready for it. The guy got around.
Yeah, he did.
I charged really hard. I had a lap sled in between us that was, you know, he was still running pretty good. And finally got around him, and then I started catching the guy every lap. And, I caught him into turn one, and it was pretty rough that year going into turn one. Well, kind of like it always is. And I decided it was now or never, and went for it, got by him, and were able to drive away from him. And eventually, I think he blew a belt, and ended up, I think he ended up second or third. So that was a great day. That was one of the first wins for Fountain Farms, and first win for Troy, and second one for me. So it was a pretty cool day.
It was amazing. That was a great race, actually, for being so cold. There's a famous pitcher, a Dinger. That's Guy Usledinger we're talking about. He won 81 here, I believe, somewhere in that range.
Yep.
But he was trying to push his sled. He had a mock skidoo, and he had blown the belt on it. And still had a good race, but cold. Actually, the temperatures that day, Todd, really weren't any different than Saturday. They actually started almost the same temperature, or very close to it, that Sunday race there. And but still, you know, we got the race in. It was cold, and I'm sitting here again with Scott Masiak. He was out there that day. What'd you think of the temperatures that day, Scott?
It was cold inside my suit when the race started. I couldn't believe it.
Did you see Todd on the track that day, Scott?
Yeah, I saw him a few times as he went by me.
his taillights, right?
I finished eighth in that race.
Very good day.
And I was happy when we were done, because visibility was tough that day.
It was bad. It was bad. That race started late. They kept pushing it off and pushing it off. And
I think we started that race at noon.
It was late. The races prior to that, Todd would remember, even when he won, we were finishing in the daylight.
Because we started at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we started earlier, and we were getting done in the daylight. Well, when you get into dusk here, as we talked about before, and I don't know if Todd knows it, I used to always try to throw that 400 lap plow at dusk if I could, just to get into that time period there. But again, Todd,
going into turn three was always a struggle when you get towards dusk. The sun was going down, and you couldn't see very well, and temperature drops. Snow dust comes back, it's just, there's no other place like the Sioux. You don't run into those circumstances, at any other racetrack. It's just a great place, a lot of good memories.
Good deal.
Well, Todd, Todd, this is the 30th anniversary of that first race that you won, so that's gonna, nice, happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Well,
it doesn't seem that long ago.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm sure it doesn't feel that long ago. But thanks for so much for sharing the memories and your thoughts on the race and taking the time to join us on this special broadcast. And I'm glad at least one person we talked to today was actually in a snowmobile race.
Yes, everybody else is ice fishing.
Everybody else is ice fishing or doing something else. But Todd Kroeke's at a race, so that's fantastic. So.
Yeah. Somehow I can't get it out of my blood. So,
well, thanks so much for the time, Todd, and stay safe. We'll look forward to seeing you up here soon.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, that's Todd Kroeke joining us here. And, guys, that's going to do it for our big broadcast. I want to thank Steve for obviously arranging all these great interviews that we've had with these various drivers. We have recorded the entire four-hour broadcast, and like I say, over the next couple of days, I'll work on getting it up in our segment so that people, if you've missed any of it or you want to go back and listen to it again, we'll have it up. I know we had a little bit of a spot where we had some technical difficulties. That won't be affected by the recording, so you'll be able to listen to it on Facebook here, hopefully, in the next few days. So But,
and we lost Jan Bailey somewhere.
Lost Jan Bailey. That's okay. Jan, we love you and everything, and we miss you. And then thanks again to everybody who gave us some time here today. Thanks to you guys for everything you do. We should also give a shout-out to our the rest of our broadcast team, Coral Howe, who's our engineer every year, Marty Zerner, who reached out and everything, Mike Boucher, we missed you and everything. Scott and I had a memorial donut in your honor. So.
There's still some left.
And my wife Sharon, who's the person who kind of does all the interviews, takes care of all the interviews. She said that we did a good job, and she said that she'll be back at her post next year too. Good. So
good. Don't forget Sharon. She does a good job, in the door.
Does a very good job taking care of all that. So again, thanks to Dave Thomas for making this possible for us to get in here, and then the entire crew here at the I-500 track for letting us get in here and do this special broadcast. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Guys, we get to go leave early today. It's not like a 12-hour day at the I-500 track, and it's gorgeous. So enjoy, and thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you guys again soon here. Thanks for listening to our special broadcast. Back at the track here. We'll see you next year at the I-500 track, and there will be racing going on. I predict that for sure. So, guys, thanks so much. We'll see you soon here on 1230 WSOO.
You've been listening to Back at the Track here on 1230 WSOO. Today's special presentation from the I-500 track was brought to you by Anytime Towing, Central Savings Bank, Madigan Pingator Insurance, Northern Light Cannabis, Reed Metals, and by Skinners of Pickford. Now let's get back into regular programming here on 1230 WSOO Sault Ste. Marie.